Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
We talked about it last night. We never actually got into it. Something that was happening here in New Hampshire that is just more of what we're always talking about, that freedom is here and getting more people. Well, freedom isn't here, but the fight for freedom is here. Mm-hmm. And getting more people here is a tremendously better strategy toward to achieve liberty in our lifetimes than, you know, throwing 2.4% in a national election at a presidential candidate or something like that. The successes we've seen in New Hampshire have been phenomenal. And I don't remember what all we talked about it last night. Oh, it was the school board member in Derry.
Yes.
Who is
the chairperson.
Yes. Who is threatening to quit because someone called her a Nazi. So right. Liberty activist, and not that this old man who did this was a liberty activist or anything like that. We don't know what he was.
Probably just a local.
Probably. He was probably
angry local.
Yes, probably born and raised in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. But the people behind this independence drive aren't from New Hampshire, aren't locals.
Well, some of them are.
Are they? I thought all of them were free staters.
Not
that's
to my
even
knowledge.
More encouraging.
Yeah, there's there's seven, I believe, sponsors of this bill, CACR32, that would propose to put on the ballot a question about declaring peaceful independence from the United States and becoming our own sovereign nation, basically.
And it's starting to get news coverage now, and people are upset.
I don't think there is a state anthem, at least to my knowledge. When I looked around for a New Hampshire anthem, I did not find anything. There may be some sort of a state song that has been anointed because, you know, they have like a state bird and a state this and a state that. But when we're looking around, there was actually somebody else in the Liberty Movement, Justin O'Donnell, had uncovered this at some point. It's an old little song that was written for a political campaign, actually, back in the 1970s. Meldrum Thompson Jr., who ultimately ended up getting elected as governor. And he just had this little song, and it's really catchy. And so
I was asked to consider the possibility of a Jimi Hendrix-style rendition of it. So I was curious if this was like an actual thing or not. But
it's
now,
a real
now
song.
I remember the story of, you know, the 1963 governor. I don't remember all of the details, but yeah, I do remember that Justin O'Donnell, you had mentioned, was the one who found it. And
yeah. Yeah, it's catchy, and the lyrics were already pretty good. If you want to see them, you can go to nhexit.us. There's an article I put up there with the lyrics, and then there's a link to a forum thread where there's a video of the sort of the original song. We truncated it a little bit just to keep it simple, keep it like one verse basically in a chorus.
Sure.
And made a few minor changes to the lyrics, like taking out any kind of references to the United States or whatever, and
well,
keeping
obviously.
It New Hampshire.
I imagine you'll be sitting here on the air describing how it went.
I hope so.
So hopefully it's going to be good. There's a catchy little song that's going to be sang there. We have no idea how many people are going to attend this thing. And that's one of the parts that intrigues me the most, is that it could just be the people from Keene and a few others. Not being able to use Telegram or any of these other communication apps like Wire. I know that's big in certain groups here. I have no idea what to expect from this.
Yeah. No clue.
So it's going to be fun to find out. And I look forward to being
you're going,
there
for, right?
I'm absolutely going.
That's cool.
Yeah. I couldn't pass this up.
Nice.
I intend to speak, but if I'm going to do that, I have to actually write out and plan out in advance what I want to say. And I think mm-hmm. I'm going to lean toward more of a, hey, this isn't about how you feel about independence. It's about giving the people of New Hampshire this decision.
You mean you're going to speak to the state
yes.
reps? Okay.
So I'm thinking something along those lines. And if you're against this because of all of this fear-mongering about how the U.S. government will just react violently, then what you're describing is domestic abuse, and mm-hmm. no one should be advised to stay in an abusive relationship out of fear that the partner will escalate the violence.
Right.
Something written out to that effect that would sound better,
okay.
essentially.
Cool.
Because I know a lot of people are going to get up there and talk about why secession or independence would be a good thing, and I want to redirect their attention back to what this is actually about, which is allowing the people of New Hampshire to make that
to
determination.
Decide on it. Yes. I think there are going to be some people who will focus on that. Those reps also get recommendations from their party. So the Republicans get a Republican Party
naturally,
rep, and the Democrats get the Democrat. But there's also the Liberty rep, or the Liberty ratings, if you will. And so some of them pay close attention to that. They will vote based on what those things say. So,
well, it's got to be rough being a politician in New Hampshire, because there's also a legislature grading thing here in New Hampshire.
The New Hampshire Liberty Alliance also does that.
It's the same organization where they go through and they rank or they rate every single representative and senator on how good or bad they are on liberty.
Correct, and yeah.
In New Hampshire particularly, it's got to be bad to be like the worst rated state representative for liberty.
We've got some of them in Keene.
I believe it.
And two of them are commenting on this this story. You want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
So this story from the Keene Sentinel, which so far I believe has given the most coverage to this independence thing.
And they have.
They've written at least two feature articles about this, and this is their second one. So in the first article, which was about a month ago, they tried to interview Matt Santanastasa, who's one of the sponsors of the bill. He's our rep here, the night, we call him the nightcap rep.
I don't remember the details. Did they try to interview him or did they?
They tried and he didn't respond to the, to the request. This time he did respond, so they actually have some comments from him. Anyway, they say Ringe Representative Matthew Santanastasa is under no illusion about his chances of winning broad support in the New Hampshire legislature for a proposed constitutional amendment for New Hampshire to declare independence from the United States. The usual YouTube haters have remigrated over to the Odyssey chat, which I'm looking at right now, and I love it when they call us late for starting after 7 o'clock.
We do that on purpose, yeah. So that the show doesn't start with 6 minutes of ads.
The reason we start after 7:06 every night is because we are a radio show.
Oh, they don't understand that part of it.
No, they don't understand. They don't really want to understand these things. They don't really think really hard. They don't ask. They just jump to conclusions. But for those that were wondering, the reason why this 7 to 10 p.m. show starts at 7:06 is because on broadcast radio, they have something called a news break at the top of the hour. It's every news talk station has this. So if we don't start after 7:05 or 7:06, then we won't be on the air on news talk stations. And this show is primarily a radio show. So we have to format our show for radio.
It amazes me that someone could be that ignorant. I was like maybe 5 years old when I realized that The Simpsons coming on at 5 o'clock didn't mean that The Simpsons came on at 5 o'clock. Mm. It came on at like 5:03 or something like that. So this concept being applied more globally to radio is just obvious to me.
I don't know. Maybe some of these people have never listened to the radio. If they're a young person.
Have they watched television? Because the same thing exists there.
Kids these days. You know?
Government is fundamentally bad, and that an elected official anywhere in the United States could dispute that idea is disgusting. The United States was founded on the idea that government is fundamentally evil.
Well, these Democrats certainly don't agree with that. They believe government is a valuable tool to helping people, to helping the poor, to helping the hungry, and the sick, and so on and so forth. They believe that government is good, and that's where they're not just her viewpoint, but the other guy that we'll read a quote from here in a moment. They really do believe that government is a tool to help people. That's what they think.
Yeah, well, that's because they're tools.
Sure.
And they're being used by the government to exploit and disempower and oppress people. She also said that it would lead to chaos and anarchy.
That's right, yeah.
I would love for it to lead to anarchy. But anarchy and chaos are not synonyms.
That's how she's using it, though. As most in the mainstream media tend to use the word anarchy, they mean, you know, bomb throwing, they mean destruction, they mean chaos.
Why would it lead to bomb throwing and riots and destruction and stuff? I might have to send this lady an email tomorrow. Can you please explain your positions on this to me? Because as a voter here in Keene, I'm tremendously confused why you think that government is, A, not fundamentally evil, and why the secession bill would lead to chaos and anarchy and riots and brick throwing. And
what the secession bill would lead to, if it were passed, is a vote. It'll be amazing if the committee actually approves this. It's going to be a very interesting discussion on Thursday afternoon that if it goes well, they're going to have to reschedule for another day because we're hoping to have enough people to pack that room to where they're going to have to open it up to another larger room. Because by default, they're in very, very small rooms because there's usually no one that shows, you know, very few people will show up to these hearings.
And I think the capacity you said was 50-ish?
In a larger room, there's 50. In a smaller room, there's maybe a dozen or 20 or something like that.
So it starts out in the smaller room,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, start out in the smaller room.
I'm confident we can get at least to the next tier.
I'm pretty sure we can. And then if it gets bigger than, you know, 50 to 70 people in the bigger room, then it goes to the reps hall, which holds 400 state reps, but the average person then gets to sit in the seats that the state reps normally sit in.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's, you know, what we'd like to see happen, and it is definitely something people need to pay attention to, whether they're in New Hampshire or not, because this is the whole point of this is to start a conversation. Whether this thing gets passed through the committee ultimately doesn't really matter, because any small group of state representatives can pull this thing to its own. So, like, what happens is the committees will make a recommendation on a bill, and then they'll recommend a bunch of bills for what they call the consent calendar. With the money that would be saved by not having to pay federal taxes, New Hampshire residents would cover costs now borne by the federal government, including in the areas of transportation and security. He said, quote, "We don't need someone in D.C. to figure it out for us. We could figure it out here," he said. Some of the federal tax money has been paid by New Hampshire residents goes into the U.S. defense budget, and Santanastasio has a problem with that as well. He feels the military-industrial complex weakens the country. And the fact that he's former military and says these things is a strong position to come from, right? Because there's a lot of people on the right who are against secession because they love the military and they love the idea that the government's going to protect them.
And a lot of them have never served in the military.
Sure. It's just fantasy.
Yeah. A lot of the people I know who have served in the military, this isn't a universal truism or anything like that, they fall much closer to what Matt Santanastasio was saying.
Yeah, because they've been there. And as he says here, quote, "I don't know how a fighter jet is protecting me in New Hampshire. Nobody could ever articulate why we were in Iraq walking around giving people a hard time. How did that protect people back home?" He said further, "We pay a bunch of people to make machines that don't do any good except in blowing people up," unquote. Now, I think
the anti-war argument is a really, really strong one. Hey, guys, yeah. Have you noticed what the American government has been doing for the last 200 and whatever years? I don't want to participate in that. I don't know about you. I mean, there's a pro-peace rally, anti-war rally here in Keene, mm-hmm. like every Saturday.
Week. Yeah.
What is the argument that someone could put forward about why New Hampshire should actually remain in this union with the United States government?
You mean besides the fear-mongering, oh, they're going to invade you and kill you argument?
Yes, one that will hold up rationally. Like, this is what we actually benefit. This is what we gain from being in this relationship.
Well, the Democrats that are being interviewed in this story from the Keene Sentinel are touching on what their argument is, and I will summarize it here. And we've still got another quote to come from the communist Joe Shapiro, who's a state rep here in Keene. But ultimately, they believe that bigger is better when it comes to governments, and that a bigger government can do more to help people, right? Like, they want to see people who are in need. This is your common Democrat viewpoint, is that government can help people who are in need. Government is a tool. It's better than charity, even though all the proof shows that charities are way more efficient and, you know, actually do care about the people that they're helping. But regardless, for those that aren't paying attention, like a lot of the Democrats, to the actual results of government programs, they believe that governments help people, and so therefore they think bigger government means more people get helped. You never really know whether or not you can even count on this supposed government help. It might be there one day, and then it might not be there the next day. Social Security may be there now, but it might not be there in 10 years, right? So, like, you can't really even know for sure. All you know is you're going to be forced to give your hard-earned money to this organization that may be pissing it away or whatever.
It's so, also true that – I forgot what the point I was going to make. Go ahead.
Well, so is it interesting because, you know, for those that want to help people, you're much better off giving to a private charity – who is doing things the way you want it to be done, whether it's Give Directly or whoever it is we're talking about, the Salvation Army or, you know, you name it, whoever your favorite charitable organization is. You give to that private charity, they're not going to be undermined 2 years later by some sort of hostile takeover that's all of a sudden going to stop giving. You know, the Salvation Army isn't going to stop doing soup kitchens. You know, they're not going to stop giving people socks who are cold and giving them a place to stay. They're not going to stop doing that. That's their mission. That's what they've done for, you know, two centuries or however long they've been around. There's not some sort of concern that some sort of group is going to take them over from the inside. That just doesn't happen, right? So you're much more safe giving your money to these private organizations or forming a new private organization if you aren't happy with the ones that exist. So he ended up seeing that government's like the worst possible way you could help somebody because you never really know if you can even count on them.
the right to keep and bear arms is, in a way, our most important right, because it's the way for us to fight back if the government violates our other rights.
And some would say that that is the reason why that the U.S. government gang has not gone as far as, say, the Australian government or other government gangs around the planet, because we do have a relative gun freedom here. However, in these big cities like Chicago and New York City, they don't have much gun freedom. And surprise, surprise, those are the places with the vaccine passports.
That's true. They're also the places with some of the worst gun crime.
Yes, indeed.
So it's almost like not only does gun control not work, but also governments where there is gun control become more tyrannical.
Yes.
Weird how that works. Speaking of tyrants, though, we have wannabe tyrant. I think you said his name was
Joe Shapiro, basically a communist holding a Democrat seat in New Hampshire state representatives.
Sarah would love him.
She would.
He probably doesn't know what communism is either.
Oh, I suspect he does. I'm just putting him in that camp just because he's very, very far left.
The reason why I'm calling tonight is because I wanted to talk about this new pandemic, the post-pandemic, the pandemic that's coming after the coronavirus pandemic. Because you see, over the past few days, the government has been blowing massive amounts of copium to try to cope with the fact that the Omicron variant will inevitably spell the end of the coronavirus pandemic. And they hate it. They hate it. They can't stand it. So they're already trying to spread a bunch of new fear-mongering porn with the new H5N1 virus, which is all over the news as of about 20, 30 minutes ago. And there's only a few cases so far, and there's only a few cases every year of a similar virus, but because they know that soon the people of the United States of America are going to make them give up their power, they are really butthurt about it, and they need to start a whole new pandemic all over again. And that new pandemic is the H5N1 pandemic.
I became curious, and I looked into what is Vision Zero, and I looked into the Vision Zero Network, and Albuquerque, New Mexico is already a Vision Zero city.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't work.
Is that why we have 99 fatalities?
What I'm telling you,
the vision of zero, the vision of having a zero person but kill 99.
Yes, but Vision Zero, the idea did not work.
They've already implemented it, Sarah.
Well, the thing is, they want to add to it. They want to do maybe
spend more money. They want to spend more money. Look, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what kind of things they do to change the roads and add stoplights or add, you know, yellow lights or whatever it is that they've got planned. You cannot stop people from making stupid decisions. And there will always be people who are not paying attention on the roads for whatever reason. Maybe they're arguing with somebody in the back seat. Maybe they're fiddling with some sort of an electronic device. Maybe they're putting on makeup. Maybe, you know, they're eating a Big Mac or whatever. Somebody's going to be distracted. They're falling asleep. They didn't get enough sleep the night before. There are so many reasons why people are distracted. No amount of road signage is going to make a difference.
Sarah, this Vision Zero thing is just absolute nonsense. Do you know what it takes in order for a city to be a Vision Zero community? All they have to do is set a clear goal of eliminating traffic deaths within 10 years or some explicit time frame. They don't have to actually meet that goal. They just have to set it.
Democracy is not under attack. It's the Voting Rights Act. It is under attack. And it isn't hard for most people to vote now. And instead of President Biden's call for unity, this country has become more divided. And the 5.9% cost of living raise that started this month that I got is more than gone because of the inflation rise. And I am 71 years old and on a fixed income. And President Biden's rating is now at 33%.
You're kind of starting to fade out there a bit, Richard.
Richard, what was this cost of living raise? Was this something that you get from Social Security? What was that in regards to?
I'm on a regular Social Security retirement and a veteran's pension.
Okay. And so both of those gave a 5.9% raise?
Yes.
And was that something for the whole year, or do you get one of those things every quarter or every half a year or whenever they feel like it? How did those come through?
This 5.9% is for the whole year. They're claiming a lot of people with this voting rights doesn't get passed. A lot of especially minority people are going to be prohibited from voting. And that's a crock of malarkey.
Yeah, it's outright racism. I know what you're referring to now. This Voting Rights Act, which is going to require people to present IDs in order to vote in elections and things like that.
Oh, is this the federal thing where the federal government's going to take over state elections?
I'm not sure about that. But apparently, when you hear Democrats...
What's that?
Yeah, apparently that's what they're trying to do. The federal government will mandate or supersede states' voting rights.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. There's no doubt about it. And there's been a lot of concern here in New Hampshire about this thing because essentially the state constitution says the state handles voting here, and so this would essentially undo our constitution. Basically, this would be essentially an unconstitutional act by the federal government because it would violate the New Hampshire constitution. And there are a lot of people who are legitimately concerned about that. I don't know where it currently stands, so I don't know if it has it passed. Do you know, Richard?
No. They have two Democratic senators, Senator Symbian from Arizona and Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia. They're opposing it.
Can you imagine if they actually attempted to roll out some contact tracing app in New Hampshire? It'd be successful in Keene and Portsmouth, as you pointed out, but otherwise,
for the hardcore leftists,
yeah. But otherwise, it would be just a complete failure with probably fewer than 30,000 downloads. No, it wouldn't even reach that many. Mm. It'd probably be closer to 10,000 throughout the entire state. It just wouldn't go over well. And apparently, that's what they're running into in Kansas as well. Also,
well, they can't enforce the government on people who refuse to go along, right? Like,
right.
To some extent, it's true when you say that government is a voluntary agreement between people. I mean, we know it's not ultimately because they're using coercive force, but the point I'm making is if enough people don't go along to get along, the government can't do what they're trying to get away with.
I prefer to think of it as every government, even the worst dictatorship, requires the consent of the governed.
It does.
And
at
a lot of
level.
These people are just consenting because they're scared of not consenting or something. But,
yep.
You know, if you stop consenting, they suddenly realize that, yeah, they can't actually do anything about it. Kansas will stop contact tracing for next month. Because it is useless as confirmed cases increase and the public becomes less interested in participating, the Kansas Department of Health and Environment said Tuesday. This is something we all saw coming. And of course, we're in winter now and people are, infections are increasing. Omicron is on the rise and people just don't care. They are emotionally exhausted from being wound up 24/7 for the last 18 months over this nonsense and they just can't do it anymore. The change takes place on February the 1st, means people who test positive for COVID-19 will be responsible for notifying their close contacts about possible exposure, rather than the government's tracing you down and notifying those people for you. If the person has been exposed at high-risk settings, such as schools or daycares, state or local health departments will contact the setting, which will be responsible for notifying close contacts about the potential exposure. So, evidently, if someone gets COVID-19 at school, the state or local departments will contact that school, and then it's the school's responsibility to do the actual contact tracing. It's unclear. But I'm happy that people aren't participating, people aren't interested, as we enter the third year of this pandemic.
I was just calling in with some remembrances from the road. I remember one time back during the Obama years when you couldn't buy a job around here. I had to put together a trailer, basically put my life on the back of my truck and head out west to build shacks for all the oil drillers. So anyway, I'm out in Montana, and I'm in some old podunk town, and I run into this little bar that actually had a drive-up window. You could be too drunk to get out of your car, drive up there, get a six-pack of rum and cokes or whatever to go, and just drive right off.
They would sell you a rum and coke? an open container while you're in your vehicle?
Well, they put a little cap on it, you know, so it wasn't technically open, I guess. But
I'm shocked they were even allowed to get away with that. There were, the last time I went through Arkansas many, many years ago, there were some drive-through liquor stores and drive-through, but there were no, there were drive-through liquor stores, but no drive-through bars.
Yeah, they
we had a drive-through beer store in the town when I was a kid down below in Michigan. But the other cool thing that I ran into, I think it was Circle K or the Corral or something, they had these giant gas stations that were like a redneck Walmart. You could go in there and get a cheeseburger and a 12-pack and a fifth and buy some armament, munitions, boots.
When I recently traveled to the South, my sister was concerned about me traveling back and there being snow all over the runways and stuff. I'm like, no.
She was worried about the airline being able to land?
Yeah, I was like, New England has been dealing with the snow for a very long time. There's not going to be snow on the runways when I get there unless it's like actively snowing, in which case they'll direct us to a different airport.
Yeah, I don't know if they heat the runways or if they just keep them real clear and salted. I'm not sure how they handle that here, but they seem to have it handled.
I mean, it's a problem that they had to solve, so things like that are endemic problems to New Hampshire and to New England that they're like, hey, this is going to be an issue. Like the roads here, you know, we just got, and I checked parts of my yard, there were a solid 6 inches of snow, but the roads are completely clear today, and it's because New Hampshire knows these things are going to be problems, and it has ways of dealing with them when they arise.
According to the internet, airports do not have heated runways, but they do have heavy-duty snow removal equipment to clear snow and ice from runways in minutes. So they're out there cranking away. They have the financial incentive. They want to keep those planes coming through there, you know?
Oh, yeah,
so,
absolutely. Every single one of them makes airlines more money. I want to talk about this calf that was born with three eyes.
Yeah.
Because it's been floating around Drudge Report for the last few days, and I've just been sort of ignoring it because it didn't seem to interest me, but people are turning up to worship it and honor it as a return of the Hindu god Shiva.
That, according to various different news sources about the three-eyed cow born in India, dubbed a divine miracle. This, according to the Daily Star in the UK, the rare calf was born with an extra eye on its forehead. So if you imagine, you know, the cow's got, you know, got that ridge going up its nose, basically. The eye is kind of right in the smack dab in the center of that ridge. It's in line with its other two eyes, according to the video footage that I pulled up here. Maybe it's a little slightly higher, I guess, than the other two eyes, but mostly in line. And interestingly, when I was looking for video of this particular beast, I found footage from 2014 where a different calf had been born with three eyes. So it's not entirely, you know, impossible that these things can happen. Although the other calf video that I found from 2014, the eye is clearly not fully developed. It can't really see it blinking, but the new one, its eye looks like it's developed. Surprised by the strange birth, the owner of the calf said a medical screening of the calf had shown a clean bill of health, which is interesting. I do wonder, you know, a lot of time medical freaks in this way, they don't live as long, right? Like people who are born with or without certain things or too tall or too short, you know, they don't have the same lifespans as average people. So I do wonder if this cow is going to last. But he did say that, again, clean bill of health. And so whether that means it's going to live as long as any other calf remains to be seen.
Can it see out of this eye?
That's an interesting question. And the articles that I've looked at don't get into whether or not they were tested in that way. But again, it does blink at the same time as all of the other eyes. And I imagine they could do an X-ray and see if the thing's hooked up, right? Like if whatever the nerves are that hook the eye into the brain are present, then presumably this thing has a very interesting way of seeing the world, right? Like, imagine if you had two eyes on the side of your head, because again, the cow's not a carnivore, right? So it's got the eyes on the sides of its head normally, but now it has one in the front of its head as well.
Well, imagine how flies see the world, right? Their eyes are segmented, so they see thousands of different versions of the world at once, and their brains just put them together.
Yeah.
So that can't be altogether. I don't want to really imagine what it's like to have, you know, a third or a fourth eye, though, because it starts to feel weird at that point. Like, you're not a human being at that point if you can see. I don't know, but you're right. It's going to be weird for the cow to turn its head to look at someone and it's also looking above them.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.